Well, good morning again, everyone. I want to thank Jenna and Paul for ushering today, and all of you for being here. And, oh, by the way, Deb, thank you very much for the flowers. They're beautiful. So this morning I want to speak briefly about the third of the six sources, which I mentioned earlier on the back of your order of service. The third one is wisdom from the world's religions, which inspires us in our ethical and spiritual life. So the word wisdom is an interesting one. Here are a couple definitions. Insight, good sense, judgment, generally accepted belief, a wise attitude, belief, or course in action. Hopefully, we can all agree that the world's major religions all speak of the importance of wisdom. And usually, I would give examples of wisdom teachings from all the major religious traditions so that we could see the breadth of those teachings and really how similar they are when you go right to the heart of them. But we also have some very important holidays coming up. The Islamic month of Ramadan started yesterday. The Jewish holiday of Passover will begin on April 15th and end on April 23rd. In the Christian tradition, the season of Lent will end soon on April 16th. Good Friday is on April 15th in the Western Christian tradition. And Easter Sunday in the Western Christian tradition will be on April 17th. When we have our potluck. Given that there's a cluster of Abrahamic holidays, holidays from the monotheistic traditions, this April, I thought it might be more useful to focus on the theme of wisdom, and wisdom as Sophia in Jewish and later teachings. I'm going to focus on the Hebrew Testament first, and then on Easter Sunday, talk a little bit about the wisdom teachings of Jesus as a historical figure. Now, I should say in advance that in the old days, whenever they were, I was pretty anti-Christian in my younger years. And I'm not quite sure why. I wasn't indoctrinated in it by the people that brought me up. They never took me to church. So I think in my readings early on, when I learned to read, and I was an early reader, and I read about Christianity, and even as a child, it didn't make any sense to me. The doctrines, you know, original sin, what on earth is that? The belief that redeemed would go to heaven and the rest of us would go to hell, that didn't make any sense either. And unfortunately, that dislike stayed with me for many years, and I regret some of the ways in which I was a little bit dynamic with people who would come to my door and say, "Have you been saved yet?" And I would sometimes be a little bit unkind. I began to understand the ministry of Jesus as a historical person when I was in seminary in Berkeley, California. Some of you know that I took a class with Dr. Marcus Borg, who was a visiting scholar from Oregon State University. He was a highly regarded Lutheran scholar of the historical Jesus. That was his focus, along with making the Christian tradition, if you will, more humanized. So I took a class with him early on, and I think I've mentioned to some of you that in his classes, he really enjoyed having Unitarian Universalists in him because we questioned everything. And he liked that. And at the start of the class, and again, I've mentioned this several times, at the start of the class, the first class, he said, "Understanding the persona of Jesus in Christianity has two themes or two stages." He said, there's the pre-Easter Jesus of history, and then the post-Easter Christ of Christian belief. And he said, and he looked straight at us, the UUs in his class, if we weren't Christian, we should focus on the historical Jesus and not worry about the post-Easter Christ. That horrified the Lutherans in the class, but it helped me move beyond an anti-Christian belief to a deepening appreciation of Jesus as a teacher. Dr. Borg later finished a book called Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time that I used for a class here called Jesus Reconsidered a couple of 3 months before COVID hit us. And I know some of you took the class. And you may remember in the class his major emphasis in the last third of the book on wisdom, with a capital W, as Sophia. He wrote that the Hebrew word for wisdom, and I'm going to apologize in advance for probably mispronouncing this, chokmah, along with the Greek word Sophia, are both feminine nouns. Sophia represents a part of Jewish and Christian teachings that have been historically downplayed and ignored. Why? So this morning I'm going to focus on the Hebrew Testament expression of the wisdom of Sophia. And Sophia in Jewish tradition was with Yahweh, which is the word for God used in Judaism. She was with Yahweh from the very beginning, before creation. She was beside Yahweh as the world and its creatures were formed. So here's an example from Proverbs 8. Quote, Yahweh created me, first fruits of his fashioning before the oldest of his works. From everlasting I was firmly set, from the beginning before the earth came into being. The deep was not there when I was not born, nor were the springs with their abounding waters. I was born before them. And before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I came to birth. And before Yahweh had made the earth, the countryside, and the first elements of the world, I was there. When he fixed the heavens firm, I was there. And when he drew a circle on the surface of the deep, and when he thickened the clouds above, and when the sources of the deep began to swell, I was there. When he assigned the sea to its boundaries, and the waters will not encroach upon the shore, when he traced the foundations of the very earth, I was there. And I was beside the master craftsman, helping with the work of creation. And later, Dr. Borg wrote that in the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, 22-27, that she is the fashioner and mother of all good things, and a spirit that is intelligent, holy, unique, manifold, subtle, mobile, clear, unpolluted, distinct, invulnerable, loving the good, keen, irresistible, humane, steadfast, sure, free from anxiety, all-powerful, overseeing all, and penetrating through everything. That, he said, was the essence of Sophia. And then he goes on to say, and these are, of course, the attributes of God. Sophia is also said in the Wisdom of Solomon to have led the Hebrews out of slavery in Egypt. This is part of what was written. A holy people and blameless race, wisdom delivered from a nation of oppressors. She brought them over the Red Sea and led them through deep waters. But she drowned their enemies and cast them up, the Hebrews, from the depth of the sea. Now, here's a question. Were you taught this in Sunday school? Yes? No? Maybe? You were. There you go. Well, this is why I think our understanding of our Jewish and Christian heritage is important, that we not toss it aside and say it's not important. Many of our congregations and fellowships in North America have avoided the rich wisdom of Christian and Jewish traditions because of dogma, creedal statements, and issues like original sin, and the whole heaven and hell business. And it's understandable that many of us would have put that aside, given the cruel and exclusive dogma of much of institutional Christianity, which oftentimes has nothing to do with Jesus. I've come to believe that that's a disservice to us and the generations that we teach. Because, in my opinion, again, my opinion, throwing out the spiritual baby of wisdom with the theological bathwater of dogma is not terribly useful, because wisdom is universal. So that's why I would like to do a new class, Jesus Reconsidered, this coming fall, so that we can explore the wisdom teachings of the historical Jesus, and also, more importantly, the role of the female or feminine or woman in the Bible and its origin and its history. Because what I've quoted to you here from the Wisdom of Solomon is not terribly well known in most Christian communities. It's important to be able to share that story. Dr. Borg discusses his belief that the historical Jesus was deeply aware of Sophia as female and as wisdom. Indeed, later in his book, he said, rather than just the Son of God, Jesus is also the son of Sophia. So I'd like to continue the wisdom teachings of the historical Jesus two Sundays from now on Easter, and it won't be huge or major, and it'll probably involve his most famous parable, which is the parable of the Good Samaritan. In another lecture of his that I heard in South Carolina, Dr. Borg, and this was several years before he died, gave this symbolism, which you might find evocative. He said, imagine the eternal wisdom of Sophia with Jesus, isolated in a dark tomb after the crucifixion. And imagine the stone of that tomb rolled aside, and therein is no physical body. And yet, he said, the boundless, all-powerful, overseeing all, and penetrating through all, essence of wisdom as Sophia comes forth every single Easter from that dark place to help give us wisdom for the new year and for the challenges that we face. And that, in a nutshell, is what I hope wisdom can help us understand more deeply in that third principle. So let's take a little time of quiet, or semi-quiet, and just take it all in, and then we will do our offertory.